Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here with you this morning. If we haven't met before, my name is Mike. I'm the senior pastor here, part of the ministry team. It's great that you're here with us this morning. We're going to work our way through the passage that Jane just read for us. So if you could keep your Bible open there, that would be helpful. And on the inside of your service sheet, there's some room there for you to take some notes or draw some pictures, whatever's easier for you when it comes to listening. Speaking of listening, let's pray so that God might help us hear and he might help me speak. Let's pray. Our great God, we want to thank you that we can be here together this morning. Thank you for your kindness to us that we can be here in this cool air conditioning. We pray that as we hear your word now that you would speak to us, that we might know the truth about Jesus, that we might not only know who he is but be known by him, and that we might be people who put your word into practice. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you don't submit yourself to the word of God, you'll fall for anything that sounds convincing. You'll fall victim to anything that sounds about right. Let me say it again. If you don't submit yourself to the word of God, you'll fall for anything that sounds convincing. You'll fall victim to anything that sounds about right. It's easy to be conned, I think. It's easy to be fooled. And when it comes to travelling overseas, I think I am the biggest idiot that I know. There hasn't been a trip yet where I've not been conned by someone. For me, it's now become part of my travelling experience. I'm up for anything that sounds about right on a holiday. I'll go along with anything that sounds convincing. I ended up paying a guy $20 in San Francisco to polish my sneakers. But my sneakers weren't leather and I didn't want them polished. I paid a guy €20 in Greece for fake coins. They looked real, but they are really fake. Just about everything is fake in Turkey. They can see you coming a mile away, the Turks. They have signs in the Grand Bazaar in Istanbul that say genuine fakes. We paid €20, but he wanted €50 from us. Corinne and I posed for a photo outside the Colosseum in Rome. Two very friendly Romans offered to take our photo for us. One even gave us some gladiator clothes to wear. Friends, you're looking at photos worth €20. I had no idea that Roman gladiators kissed each other, but hey, when in Rome, right? I nearly lost a lot of money on a bet in Paris, and I never bet. They were playing a game of guess which cup the ball was under, and I couldn't believe how stupid they were because it was so obvious to me which cup the ball was under. Corinne couldn't believe how stupid I was for falling for a tourist scam, and she yelled at me when I pulled out my wallet. I paid $17 for two 600ml bottles of Coke in Israel. I got dudded on the exchange rate. I paid in US dollars and got shortchanged with shekels. When it comes to travelling overseas, I think I am the biggest idiot that I know. It's easy to be conned, isn't it? It's easy to be fooled by someone. There's nothing worse than being scammed, nothing worse than getting ripped off by someone else, nothing worse than feeling cheated. There's no other feeling like it. It's embarrassing to be ripped off and fooled. This morning, we're continuing our series in Matthew's Gospel, our series called The Promised King, and we're sitting on the side of a Galilean mountain listening to Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. We've gathered with large crowds from everywhere in Galilee and the Decapolis, in Jerusalem, Judea, and from across the Jordan. And Jesus is really laying it into his hearers here. He wants to know if they're listening. He wants to know if they'll do what he says. Jesus has been speaking about the kingdom, about how to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And over the last few weeks, as we've looked at the Sermon on the Mount, we've noticed some similarities between the Sermon on the Mount and the law being given to the people at Sinai. Both groups were on the side of a mountain. Both were on the verge of entering into the promised land. Both were hearing the word of God. Moses tells Israel to choose life so that they might live long in the land. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, because it's the gate that leads to life. But Israel failed to listen, didn't they? They were fooled into being like the other nations. Israel were people who ignored the word of God. They fell victim to the scam of anything that sounded convincing. Israel bowed down and worshipped other gods, so they didn't live long in the land that God was giving them. As Jesus finishes his Sermon on the Mount, as he gets to the application point in his sermon, Jesus says this: there's plenty of people out there trying to convince you. A lot of what they say sounds really good. It seems like the right way to go, but it's the wide, broad road that leads to destruction. You see, friends, if you don't submit yourself to the Word of God, you'll fall victim for anything that sounds convincing. You'll fall victim to anything that sounds about right. Jesus says, here's how you spot a real one from a fake one. Here's how you tell who's genuine from those who are just along for the ride. You can tell a true disciple by the clothes that they wear. You can tell a true disciple by the fruit that they bear. See it with me, will you? Verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. That by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Watch out for false prophets, warns Jesus. Pseudo-prophets who seek your destruction. By their fruit, you'll recognize them. Good trees don't bear bad fruit. Bad trees don't bear good fruit. It's hard to keep up with all the mixed metaphors, isn't it? But the point Jesus is making is very obvious. If you're not listening to Jesus' warning, if you're not listening to the things that Jesus says, what chance do you stand against them? How will you know if they're the real deal or they aren't? You see, if you don't submit yourself to the Word of God, you'll fall for anything that sounds convincing. You'll fall victim to anything that sounds about right. When I wrote this talk during the week, I struggled to think of an illustration about false prophets. An example of someone who makes all the right noises, but is really a ferocious wolf feeding on God's sheep. People who are in trusted positions of Christian leadership, whose actions brought about the destruction and the downfall of others. But then I realized I couldn't think of one example. I actually struggled to know which example to use. Should I talk about the 16th century Reformation, where for a price you could purchase entry into the kingdom of heaven? False prophets selling false hope to poor and vulnerable people. That's how corrupt the church had become. That's what Martin Luther was protesting Protestant about. Should I talk about the Royal Commission into Child Abuse? Ferocious wolves who prey on instead of pray for the people of God. The countless number of pastors who've conned their congregations into making them wealthy or famous at their expense. Not really much chance of that happening here, is there? Pastors who've promised to serve God, who've promised to serve God's people, who've promised faithfulness to their wives, only to end up being unfaithful to all of them. So many families on the altar, sacrificed on the altar of ministry, growing a personal empire instead of the kingdom of God. Misuse of finances, the misappropriation of trust, the abuse of authority. Good fruit equals good tree equals bad fruit. The mathematics is straightforward enough, isn't it? By their fruit, you'll recognize them. But you'll only recognize them if you're listening to Jesus. If you're paying attention to his word. Hey, you want to see what bad fruit looks like? Just check out my kids' lunch boxes after school on Friday. Bananas that have lost their shape. Apples that look like they've been sun-dried. Grapes that look like they've been eaten, though they haven't been eaten. Mandarins that shouldn't smell that way. That's what these false teachers do. They leave bruising and bad smells on the lives of other people. If it makes you feel any better, this passage makes me very nervous, not comfortable. Not because I have something to confess, it's just that I don't want to be cut down and thrown into the fire. And I don't want you to be either. Look there at verse 19. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. Do you hear the warning, friends? Look for character, not charisma. Look for content, not charm. Are they doing what Jesus says? Do they practice what they preach? Do they actually believe this stuff? Are they living it? Don't jump to conclusions too quickly. Don't be hasty in the laying on of hands, says the scriptures, because it takes time to bear fruit. Fruit, of course, you'll know is seasonal. But eventually you'll see the fruit that people produce. But we really like things that are big, don't we? We like to know that in this Christian life that we're living, that we're not alone. We're drawn to the big lights and the loud music. We love the idea of activities and alternatives of things to do. We're drawn to big names and celebrities. We love the idea of status and reputation. More programs, more pastors, more people, bigger buildings, bigger bands, bigger budgets, healing services, big Sundays, outreach events, mission trips, marginalized ministry, camps, crafts, and conferences. Have I got your attention yet? Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father is in heaven. Who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles? I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Don't you see, not everything that's done in the name of Jesus is done by people who know Jesus, is done by people who are known by Jesus. We look for activities as a sign of life, but we're looking in the wrong direction. We're looking for the wrong kind of activity. Left to our own machinations and our own evaluation, if it looks and sounds good, then it must be right. Right? They're making all the right noises, saying all the right things. Lord, Lord, they declare. But we judge books by their cover, don't we? We judge a crop by its output. So we value program-based ministry that caters to our wants and to our needs and our desires, rather than to the word-based ministry that fuels our desire to know God and to be known by God. Jesus wants to know if you're listening to him. By their fruit, you'll know them. Of course, there's nothing wrong with doing any of those things that I just mentioned. We could probably do a few more of them as a church, couldn't we? But size and numbers aren't the measure of authenticity when it comes to Christianity. If it was a popular message, everyone would be here. If it was a popular message, they wouldn't have crucified the messenger, would they? So the question is, what's at the center of what we do as a church? Who is at the center of what we do as a church? Is it the word of God or is it my preferences? Is it about Jesus? Or is it about me? He's very honest and direct, isn't he, Jesus? Look there at verse 21. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Don't you see, if you don't submit yourself to the word of God, you'll fall for anything that sounds convincing. You'll fall victim to anything that sounds about right. You see, it's not enough to listen to Jesus. Not enough just to hear what he says. We need to do what he says. It's not enough to have heard Jesus' words. Jesus wants us to build our lives upon them. So you can tell a true disciple from where they build. Look there at verse 25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Jesus wants to know if you've been listening to him. These words of mine, see that there in the verse, these words of mine are referring to the whole Sermon on the Mount. Everything that Jesus has been saying, have you been listening? Have you been paying attention to the things that he says?
Are you going to put these words of his into practice? Are you ready to do the things that he says to us? It's quite a claim Jesus is making, don't you think? His words are a solid foundation on which you can build your life. Your life won't fall over if you do. There's no need for you to rebuild. It's quite the claim, isn't it? When trouble comes, and it will, when you feel beaten and weathered, and you will, when you suffer insults and persecution and all kinds of evil because of me, said Jesus, and you probably just might, Jesus' words are the wisest place for you to build your life on. Don't just listen, but do what it says. Don't just hear the word, but put it into practice. James says the same thing a different way. James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they'll be blessed in what they do. Sometimes when I look in the mirror, I'd like to forget what I just saw, especially first thing in the morning. That's an image I'd like to forget in a hurry. You should see Andrew. But what's the point of looking? It was a joke, right? But what's the point of looking if you immediately forget what you've just seen? And what's the point of hearing if you're not listening and not doing what's just been said? I mean, everyone builds their life on something, don't they? Everyone's got a philosophy that they live their life by. What's yours? She'll be right, mate. Live and let live. Don't worry. Be happy. Take what you can get. Get what you can. The one who dies with the most toys wins. The world revolves around me. Make America great again. Love many. Trust few. Always paddle your own canoe. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. But when the storms come knocking on your door, when the clouds start to gather around your place, how's that working out for you? How's your philosophy holding up then? Rattle a few windows, did it? Shake your foundations a bit? Cracks starting to appear on the surface? Don't you see there's only one sure foundation on which you can build your life? Hearing and doing what Jesus says. Because if you don't submit yourself to the word of God, you'll fall for anything that sounds convincing. You'll fall victim to anything that sounds about right. And here comes the crash. Are you ready for it? Verse 26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the wind blew and it beat against that house and it fell with a great crash. Throughout the whole of the Bible, the word fool is the person who has no regard for God. Psalm 14 verse 1 and Psalm 53 verse 1 say exactly the same thing. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. But before you think I'm starting to talk about atheists, I want you to know a fool is anyone who does not listen to what God says. Foolish because they don't listen. Foolish because they do what they think seems right to them. What seems good to them. But see it there, there's no one who does good. It's foolishness, says Jesus. Some of us say, Lord, Lord, and say that we're doing things in Jesus' name, but we aren't listening to what Jesus says and we aren't doing the things he's told us to do. That makes you a fool, says Jesus. The word for fool, moros, the word for fool actually translates more accurately into English as moron, moros, moron. Building sandcastles on the water's edge is only going to lead to tears, isn't it? Sandcastles collapse and buckets and spades get washed into the ocean with the rising tide. Where are you building your life? What foundation have you laid everything upon? You see, the crowds, they're amazed that Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount because he speaks as one who has authority. But does Jesus have any, does his teaching have any authority over you? Does God's word have the final say in the way that you live and the decisions that you make? Questioning the authority of God's word isn't anything new. It's not like we came up with it. Issues of interpretation are as old as the Bible itself. Did God really say? Said the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Ignoring the stuff we think is no longer culturally relevant or the bits that we think we're personally exempt from is, if we simply interpret the Bible to please ourselves, then we've not allowed the Word of God to interpret us. If we simply become people who interpret the Bible instead of allowing the Bible to interpret us, because it's not us who interprets the Bible, friends. It's the Word of God that interprets you. The Bible is the only book in the world that interprets its reader. What you say about God's word actually says more about you. You realize this, don't you? And we exercise our authority over the word of God when we keep our Bibles closed. When our hearts are closed off to the things that it says to us. We declare ourselves as the authority over the Bible when we don't read it, when we don't study it, when we don't apply what it says to our lives. When we become people who hear what it says but don't put it into practice, Jesus says that makes us fools. Like the man who built his house on sand. This is Des Hasler. According to Jesus, Des Hasler is a fool. You might recognize him. You might even know who he is. He's the coach of the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, but that's not what makes him foolish. And he used to play for the Manly Sea Eagles, which is close, but that's not it either. Des is a premiership-winning footballer and a premiership-winning coach. He is a master tactician and statistician. In the game of rugby league, Des is at the top of the game, at the top of his game. In the game, he is on top. But Des and his wife, Christine Hasler, own a house on Millionaires Row in Sydney's Northern Beaches. It's a big multi-million dollar house that backs right onto the surf at Collaroy. His house is quite literally built on the sand. But a freak storm in June this year changed the landscape. King tides and huge waves battered the coast and caused up to 50 metres of erosion, putting a number of those million-dollar houses at risk of falling into the ocean. Des and Christine Hasler's house was one of them. It sustained significant damage. Did you know you can't get insurance for a house like this? Insurance companies won't insure a house against the ocean. That's not just a high-risk investment, is it? That's just foolishness. Jesus said, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand."